This week on the Union Podcast, we have Giovante Ashford talking about natural bodybuilding.
Hey, this is Giovante.
Any information in this podcast should first be reviewed by the corresponding professional, whether that's medical, financial, or legal, before applying it to your life. The views presented here may or may not be those of the host, guest, Union of Muscle, Black Hat Management, or its affiliates. As of this week, July 7th, 2014 to July 13th, 2014. United States is in the lead on the unionpodcast.com. Second place, South Africa. Third, Ukraine. Fourth, Brazil. Then tied with one listener each is Belgium. Welcome, Belgium, to the podcast. Colombia, welcome. Mexico, welcome, Mexico. Philippines, welcome, Philippines. Portugal, hola, Portugal. You guys speak Portuguese, yeah. And Serbia. Hope you guys are doing great. Thanks for tuning in this week to the Union Podcast. Lift strong and prosper. I'm here with Giovante Ashford. Giovante is a natural bodybuilder who's been doing some tremendous things in the world of bodybuilding. He's come a long way, and he's built just a fantastic physique. Giovante, why don't you introduce yourself?
Yes, my name, like you said, is Giovante Astor. Currently a college coach and administrator. Also a signed athlete to Diamond Cut Supplements. I'm in a natural bodybuilding competitor as well.
What do you do for the college? As you say, a coach? What do you coach?
Yes, I'm actually a director of new freshman recruitment and admissions, and I'm also an assistant wrestling coach as well.
Okay, wrestling. So is that kind of where you built your foundations in strength training, is through wrestling?
Yes, sir. Wrestling in college, we were really big on lifting, and that kind of carried when I graduated and kind of got me interested in bodybuilding.
How'd you do in wrestling?
I was King University's first ever All-American. I placed fifth in the nation, was ranked as high as first.
Nice, nice. Congratulations.
Thank
That's
you,
awesome.
For sure.
That's awesome. How are your kids doing?
Pretty good. We're young this year. We got one of our best recruiting class ever coming in next year, so we should produce some more All-Americans, we're hoping.
What college are you guys at?
We're at King University. It's an NCAA Division II school in Bristol, Tennessee.
Wow. That sounds exciting. Have you guys done well in the past?
Yes, since I'm All-American, except for past 7 years, we've always produced at least one All-American, except for 2 years. So,
wow.
Fairly new program, but we're doing well.
Wow. Now, do a lot of your guys get into the bodybuilding and fitness afterwards, or?
Yes, one of our recent All-Americans is also a Mr. Teen Tennessee bodybuilding. We have a couple guys now that does powerlifting and CrossFit, so we stay pretty active once we graduate.
Great, that's awesome. Do you train other people?
Sometimes. I don't mind training people, but I'm real big on if I'm a trainer, you're going to work out with me, so.
Okay.
3 or 4 days a week, I have people jump in with me, and we just kind of work out as a group.
Okay. All right. Do you mainly do kind of a wrestling type training, or do you do weight training with these individuals in the group?
Just straight up weight training. With me working 50 plus hours a week, it's kind of hard for me to dedicate extra time just for somebody else. So like I said, I weight train 5 days a week, so people jump in with me, and I just kind of help them do what I do, really.
So your job with the college has you working 50 hours a week?
Yeah, 50 plus hours a week, yes, sir.
Wow, that's some dedication. I hope they give you the appreciation you need over there for working that much. That's a lot of work. How do you then stay dedicated to fitness when you're working so much? How does that happen?
It just takes a lot of dedication. I feel like being an athlete kind of helped. Growing up, I always played sports. I was, my mom instilled in me to be truly dedicated to something if you're going to do it. So even though I do work a lot, I wake up at 6 o'clock every morning. I cook my meals for the entire day. After work, I go work out. After my workout, I come back home, and if there's some more work I need to do via email or something like that, I just do it. But I've done it for so long that it's almost part of my day. I don't see it as extra, like an extra workout. I just see it as part of my normal day.
Okay, all right. Now, if somebody comes into fitness and they're not an athlete, and they didn't have parents who are helping them to stay focused, they weren't already an athlete, how do they make that transition into someone who makes it a part of their daily routine?
I'm real big on, you got to find what motivates you, man. We tell our find what motivates you and stick to it. Everybody has it in them. That whole thing, not everybody's focus is a lie. I've always said you just got to see what motivates you and set a goal and work towards that goal. One thing we were really big on when I was in college is I've never set a goal except for injury. I never set a goal that I didn't reach. So I'm really, really big on setting goals and driving towards those goals.
Okay, so you got to find something that kind of inspires you and have a goal that you're chasing down that lines up with being fit.
Definitely.
Okay, all right. Yeah, we had a natural bodybuilding competition over here fairly recently. The turnout was small. Roanoke's not the biggest area. It was nice to see that there were people up there competing. The physiques were on an amateur level, which is just fine, which is great. Because I think that allows then just about anybody who's been working out fairly consistently can probably get up on stage and give a good showing overall. There were some guys who were getting closer to being able to get on a more of a off the amateur stage and onto something a little bit higher. But there were a fair number of people who kind of just showed up. And that was good to see. So I think even if you're starting off, you might be able to find a bodybuilding show where even the amateurs can compete. And so that can be a good goal. Have you found that setting goals for competitions has helped you?
Yes. I don't want to say I'm a different. I get told a lot. I'm kind of like a different breed. I'm very self-motivated. I've always been like hard on myself. I'm my toughest critic. So even before I started doing competitions after college, I always push myself to lift. I definitely feel like if you're training for something and getting in groups, I feel like it helps as well. That's why talking to people back in Roanoke, I see it's been awesome. There's been a lot of people working out together in groups at certain gyms and things. But I definitely think like training for a show or something helps because it gives you something to push for. You get a real strong team to support you, and it's awesome. I respect anybody, whether it's amateur level, pro level, because it's, as you know, it's not easy at all to stay fit and be that dedicated. So I don't care if you're just starting out or if you've been doing it for 20 years. I respect everybody across the board because it does take a lot of dedication to stay focused to it.
Yeah, I did that Jacob's Ladder machine that they have on The Biggest Loser. I don't know if you've ever tried one of those. First time I got on it, I was shocked at how difficult that actually was. And on the show, they have these people who have a lot of extra weight on them who are on that ladder. And I said, man, you know, for somebody who's doing it the first time, me, and I'm pretty athletic, I didn't think it was going to be that intense. But there was some intensity on that little ladder. And I couldn't imagine trying to do that with extra weight on you. So I think, even if you're someone who's athletic out there and you see someone who's not as athletic, but they're doing something, you can respect the fact that they're doing something. And maybe they're not where you're at, but where they're at right now, it's taken probably a lot more for them to do what they're doing than it might be for you because you've already got your body geared and engineered to where you're at right now. Whereas their body hasn't been in a position where they're walking that far on a treadmill. Their body's not used to that. Their body's not in a condition where it handles it as well as yours can. And so I think there's a lot of effort that can go into that.
Definitely.
So what's the secret? What's the secret to getting a good physique, building the muscle? Well, there's a secret, right?
Dedication. Diet, man, listen, the biggest thing, especially with females, and I hope a lot of females hear this podcast and understand, man, all it takes, like, you just have to be dedicated to workout and dieting. Dieting is the biggest part of it. A lot of people, I know guys that have been lifting weights, some of them stronger than me for 20 years, and they still lift the exact same because they don't eat right. But you have to be just as dedicated to your diet as you are to working out, man. Like I said, I know guys that lift 400, 500 pounds, and look, I mean, they're getting thicker, but they're not seeing drastic changes in their physique. Like I said, personally, I wake up 6 a.m. every day. It'll be tough at first. Kind of green is the best thing. You just got to make it into a routine. Once it's a routine, it's just part of your day. You don't see it as, man, I have to get up early and cook. You just see it as, you know, just I'm waking up at 6 to cook my meals for the day every day. You don't look at it some extra. Once it becomes a part of you, it just makes it easier. So my big advice, though, people just start practicing the little things, cooking meals for the day, working out a certain time, starting to develop that habit. It's just like with sports, with even athletes. I got really good at that wrestling, once I start doing things over and over, I'll stay out of practice and do a move 1,000 times, or I will, you know, stay after and work on something over and over. I mean, that's kind of how I treat bodybuilding as well. With my dieting, it took a while to get used to waking up 6 in the morning and cooking and eating at certain times every day. But once it became habit, now it's normal to me.
That's good. I like that. Waking up at a certain time and getting everything done, getting in a pattern of getting things done. I like getting into a pattern of getting things done. Sometimes it is hard. I don't have a fixed schedule for work. So that does make keeping a fixed schedule difficult. One thing I'm working on is trying to be more consistent about getting to bed at a certain time. That's another thing I think is important, is having that time to sleep, not relaxing time. Time that where you're sleeping, and that's important if you're trying to change your body, because your body's kind of changing at night. You're doing a lot during the day to break down the muscle and to burn off some fat, but then at night, that's when your body can actually change itself to either look different or mentally to think differently. Do you focus any on making sure you get enough sleep?
That is something I'm working on. Nobody's perfect.
Yeah.
Definitely trying to. My biggest advice here would be cut your phone off at night. That's kind of been something. That's the biggest thing I had to force myself to start getting in bed at a certain time. Kind of forcing myself to go to sleep. Like, sort of for the longest, man. You know, as hard as I worked and the hours I worked, I was just by Friday. I'm barely walking. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. So actually talking to people that's been doing it for a while, they said, I mean, you got to get more sleep. And there's nothing wrong with rest days too. A lot of misconception with people that first start off is that we work out every single day. I only lift weights 5 days a week. I don't go every single day. There's nothing wrong with taking a rest day. Like you just stated, you hit it wrong. Hey, you have to give your body time to rest and recover. So that's very important. Very, very important. And just like the habit of cooking, you got to make it a habit to go to bed at a certain time too. So I fully agree.
Natural bodybuilding. So how long has it taken you to build your physique, would you say?
Genetically, I've always had a decent body, and then wrestling in college, I mean, I was cutting down significantly. I kind of had already built up, like, symmetry and the kind of body needed. It was, for me, it was more about putting size on. So I'll say about a year after graduation is when I really started being able, because with wrestling, it's kind of hard to put on 15, 20 pounds of muscle when you're cutting 30 pounds a year. After college, I just really focused on putting size on. Then after about a year, I was ready to jump on stage.
So what'd you do to put size on then?
Lifting and eating a lot. Eating is very important, not just dieting, but trying to put on size as well, getting the calorie intake you need, especially somebody with my background. I'm still younger, so my metabolism is still fast, and I do a lot at work. You know, sometimes I wrestle with my guys. On top of, I lift a lot as well, so I have to eat constantly to put on size. I eat a meal every 3 to 4 hours, and that's not a snack. That's a full course meal.
Okay, so full course meal, meaning you've got protein and veggies and carbs, or what's
yes,
it kind of look like?
An example plate, like yesterday was ground white turkey day, so I had ground white turkey, broccoli, and brown rice for my second meal. Breakfast was actually egg whites and a creatine shake. Yes, sir, some type of protein, veggie, and carb. Just depends on my cycle, because I go high day, low day, too, and a low carb day is just protein and veggies.
Okay, so you're cycling a low day and a high day, and you're not doing the bulk and cut phase, or?
I was bulking. Like I mentioned earlier, to Diamond Cut Supplement, part of my contract is being able to be photo shoot ready at all times. So I kind of had to switch my dieting from that off-season bulk that bodybuilders have to kind of, I look at somebody like a Sidney and Tang that are Ulysses Williams. They're like two of the top people in natural bodybuilding right now. They actually diet year round, but the way they're dieting, they're still able to put on size with their training. So I recently had to tweak my diet from the stereotypical off season bulking where I'm just indulging in food to more strategic diet bulk.
How's that been going?
It's been going. It was tough at first, man. It was almost like dieting for a show. The low carb days, they sometimes suck. Honestly, you're tired. You don't realize how much carbs affect your body until you don't have them. But things have it. Once I got in routine, now I'm used to it, and I love how I'm looking.
Yeah. Yeah, we last week on the show, we talked a little bit about different diets. So if you haven't listened to that show, For those listening to this show, if you haven't heard that show, we talked a little bit about different diets that are out there right now, about ketogenic diets and banting, as well as lower carb diets, vegan diets, and Gerson diets. So last week was, I think, a great show for anyone who's wanting to learn a little bit more about different types of diets that are out there and what to focus on. And I think you hit on a key point, Giovante, is that your diet really has to kind of go with the goal that you're trying to hit. Not everybody is trying to be shoot ready. And so if you don't have to be shoot ready, but you're trying to build muscle, maybe going more of the getting a little bit of a bulking phase in there might be advantageous if you're trying to put on a lot of muscle. But if you're not trying to put on a lot of muscle, what do you think? Do you think living shoot ready is a healthy way to live?
It just depends, man. And a big thing I want to make sure people know too is different foods affect the bodies different ways. So, you know, granted, everybody pretty much be on the same, you know, protein, veggie, carb diet, but you really have to look and see how your body reacts. Like, one of my friends is very, very carb sensitive. So he does a lot more lower carb days only because his body reacts to it so drastically. My body is kind of like the opposite. Carbs don't really blow me up like they do to him. So it's kind of you almost become like a scientist of food, just kind of learning how different foods affect your body, really. Clearly, even though I'm saying I'm shoot-ready diet right now, it's still not as strict if I'm preparing for a competition. Because right now, like, I use this cheat day, quote unquote, but a cheat day for me is still not, you know, eating burgers and fries. It's just eating out the food that I enjoy to eat. But just really finding what foods affect you. And like you just stated, it depends on what you're trying to do. Clearly, if I was bulking or if I'm a guy looking to put on a lot of muscle, I would be eating more pasta and higher carbs like that instead of eating brown rice and sweet potatoes and things like that.
What if you're trying to be thin? If you're a female who's wanting to get ready to go to the beach and get that swimming suit on, what are some good dietary tactics?
That's the beauty of it too. If you're not really, you know, looking to be stage ready or photo shoot ready, I feel like you have more options for your diet. I just currently made one diet for one lady that included fruit, which I don't really eat fruits at all, but she eats fruits, different types of salads, different meats, veggies, almonds, nuts, and things like that. So for women, I mean, there's so many options for you to kind of eat what you want and still get the results you get. I'm just kind of finding foods you enjoy.
Healthy foods you enjoy, of course.
Yes, sir.
Eating lots of ice cream, probably, even though you enjoy it, probably is not going to fit into too many diets that are going to help you get bathing suit ready.
There's one diet I actually just created. I didn't create food she could eat. I created food she couldn't eat. And in just a month's time of just changing how she ate, she lost 5 pounds.
Good.
And that was strictly just wasn't really working out or anything. Just changing what she ate. Just 5 pounds just fell off. So foods really affect, you know, how you look. I took away things such as, you know, pasta, ice cream, cookies, candy, soda, things like that. And she just saw a major difference.
Yeah, a couple episodes ago, we talked more about diet, of course, and talking with a local competitor, and he just did very well in his class, the amateur level, and talked a little bit about how when we're looking at food, I said, we kind of have to start trying to be an adult about what we eat. I think somehow we decided that when you were a kid, it was okay to eat hot dogs and hamburgers and ice cream and candies. And at some point, I thought we were supposed to grow up, but we don't dietarily now. You know, you just keep eating the hot dogs, hamburgers, and pizza, and ice cream, and candies, and cakes, and you just keep doing that as though you were a little kid, and you don't ever really take on a grown-up diet. And I think if we can kind of look at ourselves a little bit that way, and say, you know, it's time maybe to be a grown-up when it comes to our diet. You know, if you still want to, you know, sit around the house and be lazy and do little kid things, you know, at least maybe grow up with your diet. So, you know, if it comes along with a cartoon character, maybe look twice at what it is you're eating. If that's how they're convincing children to eat it through, you know, a cartoon character, maybe it's not even good for them, but definitely adults maybe shouldn't be indulging in those kinds of things. And you can kind of change up your taste preferences. Your taste preferences can change. I used to enjoy candy quite a bit, I'll buy a thing of candy to see, you know, just maybe a little fun, a little enjoyment, and I don't get much enjoyment out of it anymore. I just don't. I'm just like, it's almost a drudgery to finish the little thing I bought. I'm like, ugh, you know, how much more of this is there? So your taste buds can change if you're willing to be dedicated to a healthier diet. You do a lot of working out in the gym. What's a lot of working out in the gym? What does that mean?
I work out. A lot of people think I work out every day for like 2-3 hours. Yeah, I really don't. I work out 5 days a week. My workouts normally only take about an hour or an hour and 15, hour and 20 minutes. Because I still kind of have that wrestling mentality of we didn't take a lot of breaks in college. I see some guys go in there and do half the sets I do and be in there like 4 or 5 hours for no reason at all. I'm more of a get after it type of guy. Not to say I'm rushing the workout, but I like to just get in there, man, just go after it as hard as I can. For core lifts, like deadlift, bench, and squat, I'll take longer breaks in between those sets just because you need to.
Yeah.
But outside of core lifts, I'm more of a, I'll do a set, take a break for like a second, man, just jump right back in and do it again. So that's kind of what works for me. But just like dieting and working out, too, you got to find what workout kind of gets the best out of your body as well.
Yeah, I'm on a high rep, low weight phase right now, where I'm also doing a cutting diet, and I had to do legs. I was doing quads, did 200 squats, and whoo, man, yeah, it was taking a lot out of me. It was tough to finish. Started feeling that little dizzy, little nausea, but I was dedicated to get it done. Yeah, had to take some breaks here and there just so you know that way I could keep my composure. There was a few people wanting to have conversations with me, and I was trying to be nice, but when you're pushing yourself that hard, you don't mean to be mean or you don't mean to be distant with people, but sometimes when you're pushing hard, it's a little bit hard to carry on a conversation with somebody else. You got to hope that they can understand that.
That's a big thing that bothers me, too, when people want to go to the gym just to have conversations. That's not why you're there at all. Focus. Get your workout done.
Yeah, there are some people who do use the gym as a place to be social. Sometimes I'll do some catching up with my friends and things like that. But unless I'm talking about helping them lift, I usually keep most of the conversation till after I'm done and after they're done. And then we, you know, if we want to chat, we can chat. But during that time, if there's any talking, it's about, hey, do you need a squat? How much weight are you lifting? We coach each other a little bit along the way. We're helping each other come to do what we're there to do. If you cut off all communication, you may miss out on getting a spot if somebody needs a spot or if you need a spot. So you got to be friendly enough to where if your life's in danger because you're lifting too much, that someone's willing to come over there and save you. But you don't want to be so talkative that you're ruining not only your workout, but theirs as well. Yes, those are some good tips. So, how do you get on stage? What's the best way to keep growing and keep progressing as a natural bodybuilder?
The biggest thing that's helped me, man, is just support. You know, seeing if there's anybody in your gym that competes, seeing if you know anybody local that competes. Because there's so much respect, as you know, if you went to school so recently, for everybody that participates. It just makes it a lot better if you, like, you know, try to form your own little team, not necessarily people that's going to do the show with you, but, you know, people that help push you and support you. My first show actually did in Charlotte, and my gym already had competitors in it, so it was a lot easier for me to do it because I felt like I was part of something. When I moved to Tennessee, man, I worked out at my college, so clearly nobody at the school competes, but there's athletes in there. A lot of kids look up to me and stuff, so there's always, like, this constant push. But the biggest way to get on stage is just to pick a show date. That's advice I get from everybody from the top down. Pick a show date, start working towards that date, because it's easy to say, man, I'm going to train, and then I'm going to get on stage, and you find yourself saying that for months, and that turns into years, and you never actually do it. So it's best to just go ahead, pick a show, sign up for it, and just start training, man, and getting ready.
Yeah, I've been working out pretty much my whole life, but I probably been more dedicated to building a physique probably within the past 10 years. And some of the biggest things, I had a gentleman stop me the other day and ask me these questions. He says, how long you been working out? And that's why I said, you know, intensely, probably about 10 years. And he says, wow, you know, he's talking about what he's doing. And I said, well, you might want to start eating right, and first thing you probably want to look at is making sure you're eating enough protein. I told him and the amount of protein he should be eating for his weight and age, and he looked at me like I was crazy. You know, he couldn't believe that you're eating that much protein. I think people are eating more protein than they think. It's just they're not thinking about how many grams of protein they're actually putting in their body. But still, you know, it might sound like a lot, but it's really not that bad to get that much protein into your diet. But it can be shocking for a lot of people, the dietary changes that you probably should make and can make fairly easily if you're wanting to actually change your body and make it more than what it is right now and prove it.
And I think that's a misconception for people not in the fitness world. And like for my term dieting, when I'm at work or something, they think I eat so much food that it meant, but in our world, it's considered dieting. It's not a lot of food to us because we know because we've learned, well, I need this amount of calories and this amount of protein and this amount of carbs, etc. It's funny, like a lot of people, like especially with women, I keep saying women because that's who I get the most questions from.
Sure.
They always assume that they gotta not eat and do all this other stuff, and then I blow their mind when I show them an example diet of my diet, and they're like, I don't eat nowhere near that. I was like, I know, but when you do eat, you're eating like you said, ice cream and cake and, you know, and everything else. So that's a big misconception as well, that people think when we die, we're not necessarily eating. When I'm actually eating more than the average person, it's just what I'm eating. So it kind of makes me hungry. But
yeah. First, when I'm helping somebody, I'll go off the charts that you can easily find that calculate out their caloric needs. And it's real easy to get enough calories into a diet. It's harder to get calories into a diet that are actually going to build you the body that you want. And so that's where it's good to hire a coach or someone who knows what they're doing to guide you along the way. Because most people probably aren't used to eating the kind of diet that they need to get the body that they want, or they'd be a lot closer to getting the body that they want. And so, yeah, you get that a lot. You're right. It's changing what you eat, not always necessarily the quantities as much as what they're eating. And so if you're wanting to get calories in, you can get a lot of calories in by eating some ice cream. Or a cake, you know, that's a lot of calories you're putting into your diet that aren't going to help you. They're actually taking away from the good, the better foods and calories that you could be putting into your body. If you're wanting to do something healthy for yourself, you're hindering your ability to do that because you're filling yourself up with stuff that's not going to help.
Definitely.
So now you said you've got a Diamond Cut Supplements. Is this your own business? Is this someone that hired you? What's this relationship?
Someone that hired me. It's a brand new supplement company. They just released their fat burners literally over a month ago, and they are working on releasing a pre-workout as well. The guy that started the company, he's actually a former owner. He just sold it to the other wrestler, but a former big-time wrestler man, owned a couple of jewelry stores down in Florida, kind of big-time, but he's really big into working out and supplements, and actually through a friend that I wrestle with and coach, he recommended me to this guy. I sent him some pictures from my show, and he found out I actually work, because the biggest thing with Diamond Cut, man, they really want to target the average working person.
Right.
I think a lot of times people get frustrated because, you know, especially when I talk to people, again, especially females, not the down there, females always definitely like, well, you know, if I work in a gym or if I had time, I could look like that too. Or, you know, if I didn't do anything, I could look like that too.
Right.
So we really want, so Diamond Cut really, they brought me on. I work, you know, 50 plus hours a week. The other athlete we just are, Katie Jones, she's actually a dental hygienist. So she's pretty good and she looks phenomenal. She's a bikini model out of Minnesota. So really, I just kind of like the brand and the people they're trying to reach, because I like that as well. I do think it does kind of bother me too when you got people giving advice, you know, that you really can't relate to. Kind of like, you put in the work, you work hard, you could look like me, but they work at a gym, you know? So it's kind of like, well, I don't work at a gym. I'm in the office 40 hours a week. Is that even possible? So you really want to target, you know, the average working people, because those are people, honestly, that, you know, that come up to me the most, like, how do I find time? How do I find time? And it's definitely possible.
Yeah, not everyone who works at a gym, though, is as athletic as you are. I know quite a few people who work out at a gym, but I don't know if they actually work out at a gym.
That really bothers me too. But that's a whole other topic. I was always big on, you know, getting advice from people that's either where I'm at or been through where I'm trying to get. It kills me when people go sign up at a gym and they pick a personal trainer that looks nothing like you've ever done anything. It really really bothers me. But anyway, talk about that.
No. I understand. I understand what you're saying. So, Diamond Cut Supplements is a fairly new company, and they've got cutting product, and they're working on a pre-workout. So, and they're trying to create products that are for the everyday person.
Yeah, well, that's who they've been buying to kind of promote. But we're looking at everybody across the board. We recently got an athlete. It's a natural supplement, so we recently had some girl wrestler athletes on Team USA that enjoy the product. We got a couple fighters, some marathon runners. So we're kind of just reaching out to everybody. I think a lot of times with supplements, man, they only try to target the meathead, you know, not everybody's a meathead. And we just want to get everybody across the board. Like me personally, ever since I've done a Diamond Cut, I've got more responses from, you know, older females, like moms and real successful women that want to look better. They just don't know how. So it's just really, really targeting everybody. We love the people that's already in the gym and huge and doing all that stuff, but we really want to, like, help people that just don't have the knowledge, you know, to go to the gym, to diet. You know, they just don't know what to do, and we want to help them.
Okay, all right. That sounds like some great goals. Now, you had to sign a contract with them to get a sponsorship. Is that what this is? Is this a sponsorship?
I'm signed as an athlete, so I'm pretty much being used for them as like a fitness model.
Okay.
I'll be on the website. I photo shoots. When I get back on stage, you know, clearly it'll be through Diamond Cut. They'll pay, I guess, sponsor me for all that stuff. So just kind of an athlete form, not necessarily sponsored by them, where I just say their name every time I go somewhere, but actually, you know, working for them, and we're working on a big deal now with an expo, so if that goes through, we'll start doing expos and booths with them as well.
All right, so what's the biggest benefit you're getting out of this relationship?
Exposure, really, man. Like, okay. Photo shoots. I've done, like, a couple small photo shoots, but nothing on, like, the scale that we're doing now. Like I said, they're working on a contract with a major fitness expo now. If that goes through, I'll turn it to our spokesperson, and I'll be pretty much get paid to travel and talk to people about fitness, which would be awesome. So just the opportunity to get photo shoots in and getting stuff paid for, travel expenses, because, you know, even when you turn pro, I mean, you know, you're still, unless you're sponsored or something, you know, you're still paying for travel and things like that. So kind of taking out that expense for me of, you know, traveling and photo shoots and things, that has been awesome so far.
Is someone who's wanting to get sponsored, can they contact a company like Diamond Cut, or what's the best way for someone else to kind of get a similar sponsorship? Or
a lot of the companies have, like, I know Shred, Core Nutritional, I think they all have on their website, we contact them and things like that. I mean, it's kind of a business world, man. Sometimes it's who you know that kind of help me. Social media has been huge. I know one of the major companies, I don't want to say their name because they're bigger mess right now. They actually, all their sponsored athletes, they found on Instagram. Like, they didn't reach out. Like, athlete didn't reach out to them. They actually found on Instagram. Social media has become a huge part of fitness. So, you know, somebody's on social media, they're building their followers, they're really getting their name out there and networking. You never know. I mentioned Katie Jones, the girl we just found. We actually found her on Instagram. She didn't call us. We actually found her on Instagram and liked her picture, so we called her.
Okay, alright.
So, yeah, just marketing. Always marketing yourself. And if you meet somebody, you know, just keep that connection and just be ready.
Okay, so you should start maybe by building up your online presence. That can help. Instagram, Facebook, and that can help somebody get noticed, maybe by a sponsor. And then even if you're not getting necessarily noticed by a sponsor, if you have put in the work to get yourself a social media presence. At least then, if you're contacting them, you can point them in that direction. You say, hey, check out my Facebook page, check out my Instagram, maybe check out this podcast episode I was on with a Union of Muscle. Something like that could be beneficial for you if you're trying to get your name out there. And what's great about doing podcasts is not only have they seen your pictures on your social media, but now they've gotten a chance to get to know you a little bit better. They get to hear who you are, what you're doing, and they can kind of see how you might present their products if you're out at an expo. They get to kind of test drive your personality through a podcast. So even if you're, in a couple weeks, we're actually going to have a branding expert to come on and talk about how to build a brand or how to build that persona. He's more focused on how to build a persona for marketing purposes and the things that you can do to make sure that when you're out in public, you're presenting yourself in such a way that's going to be the most advantageous for your career if your career is in fact trying to be out there as a public figure. And he works with politicians as well as actors on creating that public figure persona. So we've got a lot of great shows coming up on the podcast. And, you know, I'm hoping I can provide a good service for people in order to learn more about fitness, to learn about the things that they can do to not only advance themselves in fitness, but if they have a fitness career, to advance that as well. Are you locked into a contract? Do you have to be exclusive? Can you get more supplement companies? How does that look?
Well, since I was the first signed athlete, man, we kind of got it worked out, you know, especially with them being a newer company, and I've kind of been out of shows the past 2 years because of surgery. But once I get, you know, back in the shows and stuff, you know, if I do get a bigger opportunity, I do have the ability to opt out of that contract. But I'm a very loyal person, man. So I'm gonna stick with them, just, you know, see how far we can take it. God blesses me with a bigger opportunity, and we'll just, you know, talk about it then. But I'm just I don't think I'm big time dude or nothing like that. But I'm just blessed with the opportunities that I've had so far. Just want to work hard to see how far I can go.
Well, your pictures that I've seen, they look fantastic. The competition pictures I've seen, it's very impressive. I think you've done just about as good as anyone can do without getting into the unnatural end of bodybuilding. I think you're doing really well, and I think any company, if you haven't had a chance to take a look at Giovante, we're going to throw some links into the show notes for this episode. Or for advice or someone to look up to, Giovante, we're going to put some information in the show notes about Giovante, so that way you guys can get in touch with him if you need to. Have you gotten a pro card yet, or are you?
I know, I was actually a spot away from a pro card before I messed up my shoulder, man. That's why I'll probably just jump in the show at the end of this year just to go ahead and get it. Pretty confident I could jump in the show and get it. Honestly, that's not trying to sound any type of way. It's just how I feel. I'm a very competitive person. I'll probably jump in the show probably in the year, because that's part of my contract as well. They kind of want me to hurry up and do that. Looking at maybe compete. You know, end of this year, if not early next year. So that's kind of on my list of things to knock out in a year or so.
How'd you hurt your shoulder?
Actually, the week of the show, I was training with a couple of my guys getting ready for a national competition that I didn't know at the time. I tore my labrum and messed up my Lino Hero capsule in my shoulder. About 8 months passed before I really got it checked out and found out it was all tore. I had surgery last year. Last February, actually, had shoulder surgery, so I've been back lifting almost a year now, not quite, so just trying to get my body back right now.
Okay, yeah, injuries can happen out there, and they're always difficult to deal with. I'm hoping that my shoulder's hurting a little bit these days, and I'm hoping it's not anything serious. I doubt it is. I haven't done anything, I think, to really warrant a serious injury, had any accidents or anything like that. I'm wondering if it's just from the mouse, you know, just having my arm up high and it's stuck there for hours on end, you know, sitting down, you know, even if you have a sit down job, that's not necessarily mean you're going to be safe from injury, even at a sit down job, if you're stuck in a position for a long period of time.
Yeah, definitely. And that's a big thing people need to
hardest thing for me coming from college wrestling where you're, you know, you just, it doesn't matter if my foot's broken, I'm going to try to walk out there, you know, but now I'm more, definitely more careful. Like if something bothers me, I'll get iced or I'll have it looked at. And then like you said, getting sleep is something I've been working on as well. So that was definitely one of the toughest transitions for me was getting stuff looked at because in college I was at 5 feet to feel like I could go through anything. But now, just like you could just walk from your car to the office, you could tweak your knee or be sore or something like that. So you definitely have to take care of your body as well.
I don't look at it as though I couldn't walk, get through it if I wanted to. It's just that I don't want to. Why do I want to push through all this pain? For what? Who am I trying to prove to that I'm tough? Nobody else, if you're tough, nobody else is even probably going to know you're in that pain. Right? So, I mean, how are they going to know whether you're in pain or not? So you might as well just take care of yourself. You know, if you realize that you're hurt, take care of it. So that way you can keep working out. So that way you can keep chasing after your goals at the intensity level that you want. It's hard to chase after a goal at a high intensity if you're bothered by an injury. It's gonna knock your focus out. Because now you not only is the injury might be hurting you, but you've got to think how you're gonna work around the injury. So if you can take care of it, take care of yourself, you're not gonna be in a position, in a more compromised position when you're out there chasing your goals. Let's see, number one advice for the young guy who's trying to build muscle.
Number one advice, young guy, I'm trying to think the biggest mistake I've seen. That would be my advice to him. I was going there and thinking, man, find a place like everything's routine and it's kind of crazy when you talk to like pro bodybuilders, like especially the non-natural guys, they almost sound like scientists, man, right? They talk about different workouts, how it affects your body. I think the biggest mistake I see from younger guys is they go in the gym just trying to fill up, like, who could throw up the most weight, you know? Because if you watch motivational videos, all the bodybuilders say, you know, if you want to, you know, you got to lift big to get big results. But what those kids aren't seeing is those guys just doing, you know, a certain amount of reps, proper form, and things like that. So my biggest thing would be, one, find a workout routine that's actually going to help you grow. Don't just go in there and, you know, throwing 405 on bench, doing that one time and thinking you're going to get the body you want. One thing I love from watching some of the top non-natural bodybuilders is they all say, I mean, they do a lot of reps. I mean, clearly they're repping, you know, what we would do for one or two, they're repping for like 15 to 20. But you want to get your body to that point where you could do a lot of weight for 10 to 12 sets and things like that. And then again, dieting is all about eating. Like I said, you may have an awesome workout routine, but you're not eating to support that. You're doing nothing but breaking your body down instead of building it up. I mean, you got guys that's over 200 pounds lifting 6 days a week, but don't eat nothing but eat under 1,000 calories per day. So you're not doing nothing but losing weight and breaking your body down. So definitely just learning, man, researching and seeing what your body needs to really grow. If you're a certain weight, you know, clearly you need to be eating a certain amount of calories and eating a certain type of way, you know, things like that. So just researching and seeing, you know, what your specific body needs. Everybody's different. What I need and what, you know, what Mr. Paul needs are two different things, you know.
Right.
But we can still get the same result. So
great, great. Best advice for a girl who's, you know, in her mid-40s.
Change how you eat. That's been my opinion.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And that's easy for me to answer. That's literally all I've talked to the past 3 months. Is saying, I don't know what sign on me said, hey, if you're mid-40s, call me. But that's been my biggest audience, man, the past 3 months. Just really changing how you eat. We just get stuck in this world, especially if you have kids and stuff, and you're used to just, you know, stopping by, picking up food at McDonald's or, you know, getting a basket of chicken at Bojangles, dinner. My mom is an example. She on and off, you know, when she died and things like that as well. And we just had a talk about, you know, I was like, well, what do you eat that you know is affecting your body? And she told me she's one of those people, I made the list of things that you can eat as well. And drastic changes in 2 months. Drastic. Just because she was eating, you know, she enjoys chips. Having sodas and ice cream here and there, but once she cut it out, now she's looking amazing now, you know. So just
Yeah. I think one thing that's been, I think, really bad for people health-wise is this idea that they need to listen to their bodies. I don't necessarily agree with that, because there's a lot of people out there who they're mixing up what their bodies is telling them and what their emotions are telling them. And so when someone says, listen to your body, a lot of people, what they really hear is listen to your emotions. And because there's very few people probably in the U.S. who are on the brink of starvation, who are, you know, at the point where they're hungry, so hungry that they're getting nauseous, so hungry that they have pain, actual pain. I mean, that's when you know you're hungry, is that's what a hunger pain is. It's not that, well, I think I'm feeling hungry, what do I want? And they kind of try to feel what they want to eat. And it's their emotions that are driving their dietary choices. Well, guess what? Your emotions have no care about what your health is. Your emotions don't have this amazing capability of understanding what your body needs. Your emotions don't. If you get good at sensing what your body needs, it's really different from going, I'm hungry, what do I want to eat? And trying to come up with this emotional response to a question that's more about what your body needs than what you feel like eating. This idea of what do you feel like eating. We need to stop asking that question. You need to stop asking your children that question. You need to stop asking the question about what your feelings are dictating about your dietary choices. This is where most people are getting in trouble, is when they're letting their feelings guide their dietary choices and not their health, not their knowledge.
Yeah, it takes a mental toughness as well. And I kind of like what you mentioned earlier about, you know, growing up as far as how your fitness life. I think that's great to kind of let people see, because sometimes, again, especially with females, they do sound like kids. Like the other day, and this is perfect, the other day I had a girl, you know, call me and she was like, hey, I'm getting married next year. I need you, blah, blah, blah. All right, cool. I was like, well, you know, there's going to be some things you have to give up. And she was like, well, I don't want to give up X, Y, Z. I was like, well, you either give it up or you look horrible or you win.
Right.
You know? She was like, but, you know, I really enjoy my macaroni and cheese. I'm like, you sound like a 5-year-old crying right now. Like, you know, you have to, just like you mentioned earlier, you have to grow up, you know, as an adult, as a grown woman or a grown man, say, listen, I want to look a certain way. I need to do this. This is what I'm going to do. And not, it's just like, and that's why I laugh. You just can't think of it. Because sometimes people do sound like 5-year-olds. They're like whining to me. Like, well, why do I have to give up like this? Or why do I have to give up that? Like, well, you either do it or look the way you've been looking. It's up to you. I'm fine with all this, you know? So you kind of got to, it's so true though. But yeah, mentally, you got to be tough, because I don't always want to chicken, broccoli, and brown rice. So, you know, I could say, well, my body doesn't really want that right now. That's not my body. That's me mentally just, you know, being a punk about it and not staying focused, you know. So you are exactly right.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that's something we need to get out of our vocabulary as adults, and something we shouldn't be teaching our children, is asking them what do they feel like eating. Because your dietary choices should not be based on an emotion. You know, how many times do you get in trouble? You know, I mean, people want to tell you to follow your heart, but I know there's lots of people who follow their heart and end up in situations that aren't necessarily the best for them or anybody else. So sometimes your heart can lie to you. Your heart might not have an agenda that's for your own benefit. So it's important that you catchphrases sound nice, but just because something rhymes doesn't make it true. Yeah, something that rhymes sounds nice, but it doesn't make it true. And I repeated that, you know, twice, just so that way hopefully it sinks in. I had a friend who liked to come up with all these little rhyming phrases to justify what they were doing. And if you're not paying attention, you're like, oh, that sounds right for some reason. No, they just got it to rhyme. And just because it rhymes, that doesn't make it right. Doesn't make it of any value. It just rhymes. That's it.
It just It sounds good, man. People hear what they want to hear. They're just like, you look at a diet. I love when I tell women they need to diet and they'll go find some crazy article. It's like, well, the article said I can still eat XYZ and, you know, still get results. And there'll be some crazy article from some overweight lady that no idea what she's talking about. So people hear what they want to hear, though. So I agree with you 100%.
That's some of the biggest struggles I think we have right now, at least in the U.S. I know we have listeners all over. Shout out to all the listeners in Russia, Ukraine, South Africa. Where else do we have some listeners? I'm going to give a quick shout out to these guys. United Kingdom, Italy, Romania. We've got someone listening in Romania a couple weeks ago. Serbia. Wow. Someone in Serbia has tuned into the show. So just a quick shout out to the people who are listening at the time that we recorded this. Thanks, guys, for listening. I know there's a lot of things we talk about that may not be the same types of problems that you're having in your nation where you're at. But I do want to thank everybody for tuning in to this episode. Whether you're here in the U.S. and you're struggling with not letting your emotions dictate your diet, whether you're in another country where you're just happy to find food and be alive, I'm proud of you guys for tuning in. Proud of you guys for listening, and I do appreciate it. Giovanni, I want to thank you for taking the time to come on as well. I know we're recording on a time you have off when you work so much and you get a little downtime. You know, I know that can be a cherished time to spend with others. And I just wanted to thank you for taking the time to come in on the podcast. And I hope we can reach some more people and help them lift strong and prosper.
Definitely, man. I definitely want to thank you, Paul, man, for the opportunity, man. You're great. I love what you're doing, man. And hopefully, you know, once I reach my top fitness goals, man, I could come back on your show and do this again, man.
Definitely, definitely. Happy to have you on anytime you want.
Definitely, man. Thank you, man.
All right. Have a good one.
You too.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Union Podcast. Please stay tuned for a message from the Union. I want to take a moment to thank our athletes. Our athletes are those who have taken the bull by the horns to lift strong and prosper. They, out of their own pockets, pay to get this podcast off the ground, pay to keep it going. They do this not through any direct donation, but they participate in our programs. They have union-sponsored coaches that help them train to lift strong and prosper. So I wanted to give a shout-out to all of our union athletes. Thank you for making this podcast possible, so that way all our members throughout the whole world can listen. To become a union athlete, go to www.theunionofmuscle.com and click on the athlete page. There you will find an application. Fill it out and dues apply for athletes. But it's our athletes, once again, those dues that they're paying are keeping this podcast going. Lift strong and prosper, everyone. Okay, all you beautiful fitness freaks, geeks, and athletes, don't forget to like us on Facebook, subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, sign up for free membership in the Union of Muscle, help our union-sponsored athletes by donating to their fund, and lift strong and prosper. Congratulations, all you fitness freaks, geeks, and athletes. By listening to this entire podcast, you get a union membership free. Simply go to www.unionofmuscle.com and click on the union membership registration form. Now, as a member of the Union of Muscle, you get updates on this podcast, as well as the ability to earn points for staying fit. I call these points Fitcoin. You can earn Fitcoin by tracking your fitness, getting fitness certifications, participating in team events, or going on union raids, and so much more. Track your success on the Union Leaderboard, where you can compete with other union members, athletes, for top placement in a fearsome competition of fitness. Do you have a great idea for a podcast or think you can do a fitness podcast better? Go to www.fullservicepodcasts.com. That's podcasts with an S. Get as much or as little help as you need creating and hosting podcasts on iTunes and on the internet. That's www.fullservicepodcasts.com. Would you like to be a guest on our podcast? Go to theunionofmuscle.com and go to the Contact Us page. There you will find an application for guest speakers. You have been listening to The Union Podcast. All rights are reserved by the content's creators.